here, KY6B. Thank you for the introduction, and it's great to be here tonight. Boy, you know, it has been a long, long time since I've done one of these things, and it is, as I say, great to be here. We always have a lot of fun when we do Ask an Elmer. Now, remember how this works. When somebody has a question, we throw it out to the listening audience, and we see if we can get an answer. If somebody has a comment about ham radio in general, we throw that out for them to comment on, to get their take on things, opinions, anything. Ham radio, it's all out there in the mix on Ask an Elmer. Okay, so if you've been here before, you know how it works. And if you haven't, you'll catch on pretty quickly, I think. So one of the topics, and you know, and that's the thing, we're just going to go through a bunch of topics tonight, and you know, anything that happens is going to happen. But one of the topics I wanted to start out with tonight, a topic that's near and dear to us, is what we're using right now, Echolink. It seems that you know, there's been a couple of questions in the past couple of Elmers that you know, people maybe have dropped a few things about Echolink, and maybe it's time to fill in a couple of the blanks if we can, or at least get the discussion going. But first, let me buy a nickel. So I thought we'd start it out with Echolink. All right, what is it? What is this thing we're using, right? Echolink software, obviously you're using it on your computer or phone, allows licensed amateur radio stations to communicate with one another over the internet using streaming audio technology. Now, the program allows worldwide connections to be made between stations or from computer to station, greatly enhancing amateur radio's communications capabilities. Now, you know, it's a big deal. You may not realize how many folks are using this, but almost a million people worldwide in 151 of the world's 193 nations, with over 5,000 people connected at any given time. Now, many folks have an Echolink repeater in their area, too, that allows them to have capability to reach all over the world via the internet using a simple HT, a handy talkie, right? You simply get the frequency for your computer, for your repeater. You key into it, and the next thing you know, you're talking anywhere in the world via the Echolink network. Now, even if you don't have a repeater locally, you can make your own simplex gateway with a digital interface like a Signalink USB, a cable, and a spare HT. Let me buy a nickel. You know, that simplex repeater, that simplex node, really works too. I did that. I just said, you know, one day I said, why not? Let's see if we can cob this stuff together. And I rummaged around the shack, and I got the connections made, and a few tweaks here and a few tweaks there, and it worked great. I was over on the other side of the city, you know, with my little HT keying what I had here at home, and it was going into the Echolink node just fine. I was listening to the Echo test node, and sounding good actually. So easy stuff to do. So that's one way to use it. It does work great. You know, or you can use the method that I'm using right now, and I think probably a lot of us are doing that too, where you're just interfacing directly with the your software into the Echolink node. One of the things that I do that's a little different, and we can talk about that in just a little bit, is I use a basically a production audio system set up to interface with the computer, and we go directly from that. It gives us a little bit better sound quality, and it's something that's pretty easy too. If you have any questions about it, I'll be happy to tell you what to do. Okay, so that sounds like a good idea right now. Why don't we take some questions, even if you just want to say hello? It's been a while since I've talked to everybody, so it would be great to hear from you. So let's take some check-ins as we get things underway with Ask an Elmer tonight. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars looking for you right now.
Yeah, I guess I'll be the first N1VXB. Got a good little comment and question. Over to you, Gary, KC2RMO, N1VXB.
Hey, Rick, great to hear from you. I haven't talked to you in many, many moons, and we'll get to you in just a minute. Let's see if anybody else wants to come aboard.
Well, since you're asking, NO7, hi there.
All right, we got George. Okay, we'll hear from you in just a moment. One more time around. Let's see if anybody else wants to be brave and maybe break the ice. Well, fine. We'll get you the next time around then. VXP, Rick, how's everything going out there in Ohio?
This is N1VXP. Not doing too bad. Getting a little bit warmer. Going to be up in the 50s tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday. Maybe a little bit of rain. Of course, next week, I don't know. they're talking 1 minute major snowstorm, and the next minute, we're not going to get it. So I guess it's one of those wait and see kind of things. Anywhere from 1 to 2 inches to, at one point they also said 5 to 8 inches. So, just have to wait and see what happens. Since I talked to you last, I have upgraded on my computer system into operating a smartphone. In fact, that's what I'm on right now. And find that Echolink works quite well. At first I said, I wasn't too sure about the headset. And on this particular phone, I had to go out and get a special headset with the four connector single plug. And I said, that's no problem. But it works quite well. And definitely find that Echolink is really nice, as well as all of Echolink, conferences, and the internet. Of course, it's a 4G LTE operating system, which seems to be a little bit better than my laptop. And another way I could do it is be a little expensive, but I could set up a hotspot through my smartphone to go Wi-Fi, but I said, wait, why should I want to do that? That's another way of doing Echolink. But definitely a nice system. It runs the Android, as far as the all the hotspot, the apps and everything. So definitely, I now am, like I said, I'm into the smartphone, and I don't know. I do use the Wi-Fi now and then, but I find the regular data link not that expensive overall. But the question I have is, I hear some people say, well, I prefer an iPhone over a smartphone. And just maybe a little...
Rick, I think you might have timed out. Try again. All right, let's see if he can join us. We'll give him one more chance. All right, he's out in the ether, I guess, so we'll catch him as he comes back in just a minute. But what Rick was talking about there was a couple of different things. First of all, Rick, I know if you can hear me, I'm sure you can, that the phone sounds good. And that's one thing about Echolink, is the phones sound remarkably good. Everybody that's that I have had experience with logging in on a smartphone sounds just fine. Some sound a little better than others, but overall the audio quality is really good on the smartphones. I have used my my phone, which is a Samsung, what they call I forget, it's an LG or 1913 or something like that. It's a big Samsung phone, and it has really good sound quality. I've used that as a backup too. You asked the question about an iPhone and maybe a Droid. Let me just drop a nickel or buy a nickel for a minute. Could drop a nickel, but it wouldn't do us any good. I guess you get down to the a matter of preference. Now, for what I'm talking to you through right now is an iMac. I have an interface feeding the iMac because I like the sound quality with the Mac hardware better than anything that I can get off of a Windows sound card. I have yet to have one that can beat it. I'm sitting here with an HP Pavilion in front of me. I use that for I'm running Windows 10 on that thing, and it's great. It really is awesome. But the sound quality is not as good as I've got a 10-year-old iMac that I'm using this through, and it sounds a lot better. So it's your ear, you know, because the message is going to get through just the same no matter what you do. So overall, you know, it's what you prefer. Then you get into other things. Is an iPhone your choice for a smartphone? If it is, well, it's a no-brainer. Just get Echo Mac and put it on there, you know. That's really, you know, overall from a functionality standpoint, if it's going to sound better, one or the other, there you can't lose either one. Let's see if Rick can join us back in. Rick, are you there?
Sorry about that, timing out. And once the XP, I'm still here.
Very good, sir. So, I wanted to talk to you, too, about that weather. Holy cow. We have had a series of near misses here. We've had situations where, you know, they were saying we were going to get 11 inches and we got 3. But, you know, it all went a little bit north of us, maybe 10 miles north, you know, that sort of thing. So it's been a very unpredictable winter. So, and I've heard about that storm, too. Nobody really knows what's going on with it. At this stage of the game, you know, let it do whatever it's going to do. I'm not guessing anymore. I'm not worrying about it anymore. It is what it is. But we've got 14 degrees under some starry skies here, and it's going to be on its way down tonight, but not like what it has been. But thanks, Rick. Thank you for being there and being the first to plunge in here. Let's move it along to N070 George. Are you there?
Well, let me pinch myself and see. Ouch. Oh, yes, I guess I am. Good evening to everyone on the TIN. Really nice to hear. You know, on Echolink, I have been so impressed with the reliability of Echolink. Ham radio being a hobby, one would think that Echolink might be kind of a hobby software platform. Now, maybe it's been around for enough years, but maybe you can comment about how in the world it's been made so rock solid, steady, and reliable. I'm fascinated by that. So that would be my question. Then I have another question for later, if time permits. Back to NetControl, N070.
Hey, thank you, George. That's a good question. That really is. I would guess the core technology that's being used, and again, I don't know the specific, but I can tell you pretty well that it's going to be founded in the core technologies that are used for VoIP telephony. If you remember, and it's still out there, it's still the Vonage, right? If you have Time Warner phone, you know, all those protocols that they use for carrying voice over the internet like that. Are modifications, you know, or adaptations, I guess, better way of putting it, that gives Echolink the rock solid base. I mean, there's a lot of different little modules that go into it, but your foundation is basically in VoIP telephony. So it works. It works remarkably well. Now there's limitations. And we hear this all the time. You know, you'll hear it in your own speakers or headphones. And that limitation, your main limitation, is in the quality of the connection that a user has. Let me buy a nickel, and you can hear it. You'll hear somebody that's maybe got a few dropouts in what they're saying, and maybe the audio quality sounds a little bit muddy. Okay. You can pretty well tell that that's a lower speed connection that they're pushing that through. I know when I used to work for a VoIP telephone carrier Boy, it's been a while since then. It's been quite a few years ago. And the probably the biggest problem we had was people with lousy connections. They would have, you know, we would give them the minimum spec, and, you know, they're trying to push a VoIP telephone over a lousy DSL connection, you know, and they were wondering why it wasn't working. So you need some bandwidth. It seems everybody's connections seem to be getting a little bit better nowadays, so you don't hear quite so many problems related to that. But that's about your biggest problem is the quality of your connection. It's not the the stability of the software or even the platform. It's the connection itself. So if you want to have the smoothest available sailing on Echolink, make sure you have the best possible connection that you can get. That's really paramount. That's the rock bottom line. You know, it's like give me a good connection and we'll be rocking. Makes sense to you, George?
That does. And the audio dropout being related to the internet speed, that clarifies for me that is a major reason for having heard those sometime. But I'm also impressed above the voice over IP level in terms of the GUI, the screen or user interface, in terms of the configuration settings, and they seem to be rather well planned. And just in terms of the higher level, up around level 7 and 6 on the ISO scale models. And I'm impressed with how stable it is there, too. Any thoughts you could offer there, please? Over.
Well, I just want to follow up before I say anything else on the, you know, when you're talking about dropouts, when people are talking. And this is something that you might want to look at in your own internet plan, is upload speed. You know, everybody talks about download speed. But the real thing that's going to help you as far as the best audio quality on Echolink is upload speed. A lot of ISPs will kind of cut back on that upload and give you, you know, a little. They'll give you a couple, you know, a little bit tiny bit better in the terms of download. But they're not doing you any favors, you know. It's still all the same about Mbps, you know. So they're not doing you any real favors. So, but if they cut you back, I mean, if you're below 2 Mbps for your upload speed, you're gonna have some troubles from time to time. It's not gonna be as good as you would like it to be. I can tell you that. Now, the software itself, that's been around for a while. I've been doing this for how long now? Probably, you know, 4 or 5 years, I guess. And somewhere around there, maybe 4 years. And I know there hasn't been any revision in that software, either Windows or Mac. I'm on both platforms. So there is, however, a big difference between the Windows platform software and the Mac, only by a nickel. For some reason, and I'll never be able to figure this out, and I wish WQ1I was here, because he runs a Mac as well, for some reason, you do not get all the features in the Mac version of the software as you do in the Windows version of the software. Sometimes you can, if you're really hardcore, you can run the Windows version under a layer called Wine, and it will function just fine, but it's a lot to do just to get a program to run. I mean, the Echo Mac program itself is very good. It just doesn't have the features. So just to give you a case in point, tonight I'm backing up the recording of this network. I'm talking to you on the Mac through Echo Mac, but I'm recording over on a Windows laptop using the regular Echo Link software because the Mac version of the program doesn't have the recording feature. So it's the little things like that. You know, it sounds great, but, you know, I can't record. So so there's trade-offs with everything. But overall, they've been using this rev of the software now for quite some while. And it really hasn't changed an awful lot. It does what it's supposed to do. I haven't heard. Maybe somebody can let us know about that. But I haven't heard of any revisions coming up in the software. I think it's pretty well. It's a very mature platform. It's been around. It's going to stay around. So I don't see any big changes there. So anything else you want to throw in there, George?
Thanks, Gary. Well, that really helps me understand and appreciate more a lot since I did miss out on the first few years of EchoLink. So thanks for the update there, Gary. If time permits later in the net on a totally different subject matter than EchoLink, I'll have another question then, but only if time permits. I'm good for now. Thank you, Gary. KC2 RMO, NL7O.
All right, awesome. We'll be listening for you a little bit later on then when you come aboard with that. One of the things, too, I was telling you a little bit earlier, excuse me, I'm kind of losing my voice tonight, so bear with me. I have no idea why that's happening, but it just picked its time accordingly. Right? I was going to do a net, and now I'm going to start getting hoarse. But I was talking to you a little bit earlier about some of the things that you can do if you want to go beyond just using your phone, or maybe the built-in mic on your computer or what have you. You can get a little fancier with the audio on EchoLink, especially if you have a good connection. It really pays off, okay? So what I use is a little different setup. I use, because sometimes I do, audio production here at home. So I have a mixing board. I have a really good sounding microphone. It's an excellent microphone, but it's not really an expensive mic. It's just a really good sounding mic. I feed that through a digital interface to the Mac audio input. Gives you a line level input going in, but it's a A to D converter. It really is not very expensive to start pumping some good audio through here, and you can get very fancy if you want to. Now, as I get a little more time, I can start doing some stuff in the shack here that I've been wanting to do, not the least of which is putting an audio chain behind this mixing board. So I can put some compression on it. I can do some more. This board has some simple EQ on it, but I can do some fancier EQ. But just as it stands right now, I don't think there's more than probably it's got to be like maybe $200, $220 worth of audio equipment in here, and that's what I'm using as this interface. And like I say, it doubles too. I mean, if you want to do any sort of audio production, it's a basic setup for that. And you should be very happy with it. Let me buy a nickel and I'll tell you about what I'm using. The microphone here is most of this stuff is Mervin. Yeah, the whole chain actually right now is from a company called Behringer, and they make some very good inexpensive equipment. The microphone is a condenser mic. It's a large diaphragm condenser. It's called a Behringer C1. And if you shop around, honest to gosh, you can pick one of these babies up for $50. And it sounds like a $400 microphone. It really does. It is one of the great little bargains out there. I'm feeding that into a 4-channel Behringer Xenix mixer. It's a Xenix 1002. And that in turn feeds into the Behringer digital interface that goes into the computer. Overall, it just gives you a nice sound, if you like hearing the sound of your own voice in hi-fi, you can do it. It's pretty cool. So and if you like to play with audio, I think that's another thing too, that it gives you one more dimension of the hobby. You can play with it. You can transfer your EchoLink skills over to your HF rig. Also, you know, you can take this whole concept and soup your audio up for your regular rig too. So and you'll get compliments on the air. I know I do, because I have a similar setup, you know, with the FTDX 1200. People can hear it. So if you wanna go that way, there's another dimension too of the hobby. Let me buy a nickel. Okay, we're into the first half hour of this particular program, I guess we've gone through the Echo Lake stuff. So let's see if there's any comments out there. We'll throw it out for some check-ins, and we've got a few more things that we want to talk about for sure. So let's take some check-ins right now. I'm KC2 RMO. This is South Cars looking for check-ins right now.
KC2 Tango Hotel Oscar.
6 Victor.
KC2 RMO Kilo Alpha 9 Whiskey Delta X-ray.
Hey, we got 3 good ones that time. Let's kick it off with THO. Come on aboard.
Good evening, Gary, and good evening to everyone else in that. I mailed you your doorbell should be ringing shortly. I mailed you a bunch of nickels. I don't have any questions yet, but I will. I have a couple of problems with Echo Link. Like if I close it, it said the sign comes up, it's already running, I hit OK, and nothing's there. So that's my main question. If you can answer that, I don't know. Gordon's my big advisor on this stuff. So I'll get back to you. Go ahead.
Hey, Tom, run that by me one more time. What are the symptoms and what happens?
Well, say I close out with the Echo Link. And a sign will come up, Echo Link is already running. And then you hit OK and nothing happens. I have to reboot the computer to get back on. Go ahead.
Ooh, that's weird. I mean, that sounds like, for whatever reason, you managed to get 2 instances of it running. What OS are you running?
Say that again, Gary.
Yeah, Tom, what operating system are you running?
Running a Windows 7 Professional right now. And if I put it on minimum, it works great. That's what I usually do. It's at the bottom on a taskbar. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's funny. 7 Pro isn't funky that way, you know? I mean, if it was an older machine like XP or Vista or something like that, I could see some possibilities there. But for whatever reason, it almost sounds like maybe the only thing I can think of, and I don't know if this holds any water at all, is that when you're minimizing it like that, maybe somehow you're trying, and again, I'd have to see you do it, but maybe somehow you're starting a second instance of the program, you know, and it just sits there trying to open, but the other one's open. I don't know. I've never heard of that before. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm kind of stumped. So maybe Gordon can shed some light on that. But we will see what we can do. And speaking of Gordon, we have him up next. KY6D. Hello there, sir.
Well, thank you, Gary. And hello, Tom. And hello, everybody else that's connected. KY6V here. Well, you know, I used to have that problem that Tom had on occasion. But that was in the days when I was running XP. I don't think I ever ran into it on Windows 7, and I have not run into it with Windows 10. But that was it. You get this little box that comes up and says, I'm sorry, Echo Link's already running. And you say, well, what do you mean it's running? I didn't open it up. And the only way you could clear that was to reboot the machine. So I don't know the answer to that one. Hey, you got some good feedback coming up here tonight, Gary. My recollection tells me that Echo Link with John Taylor, and he's sure done a nifty job with this, started about 2000 and on into early 2001, I think, is when he broke it loose and put it to the public. the current revision, I don't know how long we've had it, but I'm going to guess a couple of years or better. And very stable, as George says. Let me buy a nickel here. Bandwidth is everything, particularly, as you mentioned, Gary, the upload speed. It takes 17 kilobytes to process an Echolink signal. And that can become very important if you're running on lower speeds and you're running in conference mode. You can pretty well figure out how much traffic you're going to be able to handle before everything is going to sound like mush. The other thing I wanted to mention in your opening, you know, we've got almost a million issued node numbers for VOIP. And I was reading an article today that was telling me that there's approximately 3 million hams worldwide. Now, if we're at a million on or just about there, on Echolink, and we got 3 million hams, we're a third of the hams are playing with Echolink, along with other things, I'm sure. But that's really something to think about. But on the other hand, it's sort of a squishy, tiny little amount when you figure we got 7 billion people on Earth. KY6V, go ahead, Gary.
Well, that's some food for thought there. But no, it's but when you think about it, if you've got 30% of, you know, the licensed ham radio operators that are at least involved in Echolink at some point in time, excuse me, and again, you're going to have to bear with the hoarseness here. That's a very impressive statistic, and that is consistent with, you know, what ham radio is all about. You have a lot of stuff in your arsenal. You know, you're working different frequencies, you're working different modes, you're using different methodologies, and you're kind of gaining expertise in all of them. That's what it's all about. So it does make sense that you're going to have a relatively high portion of that population involved in something like this, and it's pretty cool. So, and I suppose that's probably been fairly consistent for the past few years too, as this technology has become kind of, I don't know if it's a matter of acceptance, but it's a matter of usage, that as people are familiar with it and you know, they've got it on their machines, they've got Echolink repeaters being built in their area, you know, folks are using it, and it may not be something that you use every time, but it's there for you when you want to use it, and that's pretty cool. So there's a lot of interest in it, and I think too, and you know, when you look at it, there are with the newer digital radios where you have, and I don't know enough about D-Star or wires, you know, to really say anything intelligent about it, but I do imagine that there are quite a bit of opportunities to integrate Echolink with some of these digital modes too. If they're not out there now, they're probably under development, which would, you know, be kind of awesome. Really, you can get some pretty cool stuff happening when you've got an all digital format like that. Let me just buy a nickel. So it'll be interesting to see what the future's going to bring that way. Maybe those 3 million will become four or so, but what we got to do is get more of these 7 billion people their licenses, more people to talk to. Thanks, Gordon. Hope we'll see you in a little bit. Whiskey, Delta X-ray, Bernie, you're out there. Come on aboard.
Okay, KC2RMO and the rest of the group, K9WDX. I'm coming through an RF. They're using my HT now. And yeah, it sounds good. I could bring my Android phone online, too. I noticed something different about that today. Must have had some sort of update with the Android software or operating system, because I was having just three screens for putting like icons and folders on and stuff. Now today, all of a sudden, there are five screens to, you know, where you can scroll left to right for the icons and for the folders and that. I stuck them right in all of them in one, in the middle one. That's what I do. I don't fill up the rest of them, at least not yet, anyhow. As far as Echolink goes, I never noticed that problem with the already running part. I do notice that once in a while with Firefox, with the Firefox browser, that happens. If I close that and I try to reopen that, sometimes it'll say that it's already running. And sometimes if I wait just 15 or 20 seconds, it'll clear out, you know, it'll finish closing or whatever. But sometimes when I try to reopen it right away, I'll get that message where it says it's already running. And I used to have the opposite problem. Sometimes I would click on it and I'd have like three or four instances running. I said, oh, I don't want that. I only want one instance of Firefox running, and I have to close a couple of them there. So I'm going to reset. Anyway, I haven't had that problem with Echolink yet. I've got Echolink on both my PC and on the netbook. The netbook, of course, is like a laptop, just slightly smaller, 11.6-inch display. And I dedicated that just for Echolink at home here. That's all I use it for. I used to use it for going to the library and going online with it and stuff like that, but not anymore now that I have internet at home. But there I installed Linux Mint, and then I installed Wine, and then I installed from the software manager in Linux, and then I installed, I think it's called Play on Linux. It says it's the front end for Wine. So I decided, well, maybe I should have that in there too, Play on Linux. So that's what I did. And then I installed the Windows version or the .exe version of Echolink, and it worked right away. I haven't had any problems with it so far. So it didn't seem very hard at all once I figured what to do, you know, as far as getting, you know, where to go to get the Wine installed there. Software Manager, I think it was called. So there's also a Package Manager or something too, and different things there. But I like it, like Echolink. And of course, there's a lot of them around here too. They use the RLP, but mostly on repeaters. And I guess that's probably all the only place you'll find that. I don't know. I was just thinking about that. Well, if you find the RLP anywhere else, it's on repeaters. And of course, there's some of them are talking about CQ100 and D-Star and other things there. There's a D-Star repeater about 45 miles away from here, but I don't know if anybody's on it because I don't have D-Star capability. So CQ100 and stuff like that. But 2000 was the year I got out of ham radio the first time, so I just guess I missed it there the first time around. 12 and a half years later, almost 3 years ago, I got back into it, given the ham radio a second chance. Back over to you, KC2RMO, KC9WDX.
Hey, thank you, sir. You know, Wine is great stuff. Not necessarily, well, to drink, yeah. But also, when you're dealing with things cross-platform, and for those who may not be familiar with it, Wine stands for Wine is not an emulator. It is a layer that goes into your operating system, and it allows some programs to function natively, even in a foreign operating system. I use it on the Macs to run certain Windows programs. I've had real good success with it. The documentation is kind of lousy, and it's not very intuitive, but I think if you click around a lot and you just do what you think you should do, it'll get you through the process, and you'll be fine with it. I've been using it now for a couple of years on the Macs to run Windows programs, and even though you can run Windows on a Mac, you know, using things like Boot Camp, or you can run a virtual machine, it's a lot more convenient just to add the layer and run it natively. So anybody who's interested, maybe you've got a Mac, maybe you're running Linux or something like that, you want to run some stuff that may not be native to your OS, definitely take a little time and check out Wine. You know, Bernie, when you were talking about the program staying open, let's see if we can help out poor Tom here. I was thinking a couple of things there, and you're right. You know, I find it odd because I never had that problem on 7. I would see that happen from time to time on XP, but not on 7. You know, anything past Vista, I think you probably wouldn't be seeing it very commonly. But one thing that made me think, you know, as you're talking, was maybe an antivirus might be causing the trouble. So it might be interesting to see, just as an experiment maybe, turn off your antivirus, open up EchoLink and try to close it and see if you still get that message. Let me buy a nickel. Because, again, sometimes you see flaky stuff like that, and it seems from my experience, we a lot of times would tell people to turn off the antivirus, and son of a gun, it would work. So just some food for thought. We'll see if Tom has any comments on that. But as a matter of fact, let's see what he's got right now. Tom, if you're there, have you investigated anything along the lines of an antivirus?
THO, no, I haven't, but it's a darn good idea. I have a vision problem, so a friend of mine's coming over, and I'll get him into it. Because I don't see much on the screen. I have it magnified, but it doesn't help me a heck of a lot. Back to you.
All right. Well, have him take a look, and maybe try that. It's a simple experiment. You know, have them just turn it off and open her up and close it and see what happens. The only other thing that I can think of that may or may not, you know, tickle your fancy is upgrade to 10. I was real hesitant to go to 10. I was running 7 Pro for an awful long time on the Windows machine. The drive went on it, and so I'm like, well, you know, let's start right from scratch, you know, and plunk the new drive in there, and I put 10 on it, and it's been a champ ever since. It's probably, in my opinion, it's the best thing they ever did. Very, very happy with it. This machine runs like a race car with it, and rock solid, no issues, you know, just does what it's supposed to do. So I've been happy with it. So 10 might be a consideration as well, you know, if you want to do the upgrade. But I would say first things first, do the little experiment with the antivirus and see where that takes you. Could be a good deal. What are we doing here? Well, we're doing a thing called Ask an Elmer. And what you do is you just ask an Elmer. Throw out any questions, concerns, comments that are related to ham radio, and I'll throw my 2 cents worth in, and we'll throw it out to the listeners here, and we'll get their 2 cents worth, and pretty soon we'll have either an answer or an interesting conversation. Let me buy a nickel. So that leads us to the next topic that I was going to throw out tonight, and, you know, here we are a couple months after Christmas. Did you have a ham radio Christmas? Did you get any goodies this year? I did pretty good this year ham radio-wise, actually. I got a Super Regen radio kit, something that I had my eyes on for a while. It's a thing called an Ozark Patrol from the 4-State QRP group. Now, my first real radio was a Lafayette KT-135 Regen, and I loved it. That was a great radio, and I pulled in stuff from all over the world on that. And one of these days, maybe I'll snag another one if I can find one in good shape. This project should be a ton of fun. I just need to find some time to do it. School has been crazy this semester. Also, now I put this thing on my list, and I'm glad I did. I'm a big fan of the ubiquitous Shure SM57. It works for everything. You'll see it in every recording studio. It gets used for something everywhere. I can't say, however, I'm a big fan of clones. Now, come on, the real deal is the real deal for a reason. But there's a mic out there called a GLS ES57. Wouldn't sound like they're trying to sound like an SM57 at all, right? But it comes pretty darn close to the sound of an SM57, looks like an SM57, and it costs about one-third. It's cheap enough to have in your bag of tricks to try for different things, and then is it really any good? Well, I'm using it on the FTDX 1200, and it sounds awesome, silky smooth, and lots and lots of nice comments on that. So Yeah, it sounds real good. So for $40, knock yourself out. It's great stuff. So how'd you do this Christmas? You get anything, any goodies you want to tell us about? Let's take some check-ins here as we continue as Ask an Elmer here on South Cars. I'm KC2RMO, looking for you to check in right now.
Six, Victor.
Did Santa bring you anything?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it did. You know, we moved our DeLand house or housing stuff down to our new place down here in Lake and Port St. Lucie. And I brought all the radio gear that I had up there, which was way too much to bring. And some new stuff, too, that I picked up from George. He was getting rid of some stuff. So I did very well. Hey, I wanted to make a comment that I just thought about. Getting back to Echolink for just a moment. You know, there's a beautiful tool that Jonathan Taylor has put into this thing that most people don't know about or haven't used. And if you look up on your toolbar, if you're looking at your program, it's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 icon in the toolbar working from right to left. And it looks like a bunch of crayons that are standing up in a row. And if you open up that page, just click on it, it'll tell you how many missed packets you've had, whether you're seeing any latency, whether you're seeing the breakup, gives you an audio bar graph. It's a wonderful little tool. So if you're hiccuping that direction, KY6V, go ahead, Gary.
Hey, thank you, Gordon. I never knew that it was there. I never looked at that. I would do it by the Windows machine that's on is on the other side of the room. I'm in front of the Mac, so you honest to gosh, that is the most simple interface that you can imagine on the Mac version. But when we get done, I'm going to check that out. I never knew that. Very cool stuff. Something new. But a ton of radio equipment. You must have done. Where are you putting it?
In the closets under the bed. The garage is still a mess. You shouldn't have asked me that. Over.
Well, I can sympathize because Steph and I were just having this conversation. She was talking about because I've got, you know, my office is the ham shack, which is, you know, my guitar studio, which is, you know, everything's in this one little room, you know. So it's like, she's like, how do you move in this place? You know, it's like, so I couldn't even imagine getting anything substantial here. I mean, even the mice are hunchbacked, you know. So it's like, you know, and you got a lot of stuff. So, you know how to use it. So that's just fine. Awesome. Enjoy every bit of it. That's for sure. Hey, you know, we're talking about stuff that we got, and there's also stuff that we want to get, right? And for me, you know, we've got spring coming, and weather's getting nicer, and that can only mean one thing: it's time to put up another antenna, right? Now, as you may or may not know, I have been banned by everybody up to the UN. For getting on a ladder again after my last ladder incident, which we won't go into right now. I think that's probably pretty well common South Cars knowledge, but I've been officially ladder retired or at least roof retired. I guess I can get on a ladder as long as somebody's watching, but roofs are definitely out. So with that in mind, and knowing that I can get within easy reach of where I need to mount this thing, on my list for this spring is a Comet CHV5X, which may actually work very well in my particular situation. Let me buy a nickel. The CHV5X is a rotatable dipole, but you can use it in different configurations too, and use it as a ground plane. You can use it as a V-shaped dipole, and the beauty of this kid is that it'll let me do anything from 40 to 6. Every band is individually tunable, and considering I don't have an awful lot of space to play with, could be a super super asset for me. I the only other antenna that I have to mess with after that would be a 2440, and you know, they're small enough that I can tuck one away someplace nicely. And since the all the repeaters are within, say, 10 miles of me, I'm not really looking for a bang-bang signal on that thing. You know, as long as I can hit the repeater, I'm fine. So my CHV-5X is my spring project. Anybody got an antenna project cooking for this spring or any other ham radio-related project? Let's hear about it right now. Well, I'm guessing nobody's going to be climbing ladders this spring. But sooner or later, you know, the bug gets to everybody. So, you know, it's the season, or the season's right around the corner. So, now, those are my plans for at least the immediate future. Anybody have anything that they want to say about anything? Let's just throw it open for general check-ins right now. I'm KC2RMO looking for you to check in. Nope, okay. If that's the case, I guess we'll call it quits for right now. It has been fun. It always is fun. Ask an Elmer. You know, we always tend to have a good time with this thing. And I want to thank everybody that participated tonight. Hope we'll do it again. You know, another Thursday night. We'll get together. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VoIPnet schedules and general information may be found on the World Wide Web at voip.southcars.com. Your deck control for this session has been Gary, KC2RMO, saying 73 and closing this VoIP session. Thanks for your participation. This net is closed.